And as they try to get their lives together, they really have a memorial that is left to them. But yet there's also another question. And this question is etched out of the passage that we're going to look at this morning, out of Mark's gospel. And the question is this: when Jesus thinks about your name, would your name be a memorial of faithfulness? In the Gospel of Mark, there's a very interesting scenario that takes place in chapter 14. We'll read it in just a moment. But there is one significant act that a woman demonstrates to the Lord Jesus. But when she demonstrates this one act, Jesus makes it very clear that wherever the gospel is proclaimed, this woman's act will never be forgotten. You know, it's one thing to be remembered by our nation. It's one thing to be remembered by other individuals. It's one thing to be remembered by friends and family and others. But can you imagine your name being remembered when it comes to a memorial of faithfulness? Would the Father be able to say about your life and my life that we have demonstrated that memorial of faithfulness in His presence? If you'll turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, and I want to read verses 1 through 9. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, "Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people." And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. She broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, "Why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor." And they murmured against her. But I want you to listen to verse 6 through 9 carefully. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She has wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me, you have not always. She has done what she could. She has come aforetime to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she has done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." Now, I want you to get the picture for just a moment. Jesus is getting ready. He is getting ready to go to his death. He is going to be crucified. He is going to be handed over to the military rogue of that day. And yet before that happens, there is an event that takes place. And there is a woman that comes into the presence of Jesus, and in her presence, there is a special ointment. The Bible says it's a precious ointment. The Bible says it's an expensive ointment. And that ointment was of such significance in that day and time that it was probably, according to their custom, about 1 year's worth of salary. What would that mean in your pocket? What would 1 year's worth of salary mean in your bank account? What would 1 year's worth of salary mean to you? But the Bible says that she did something that was very unique and very unusual, and it even created indignation among the disciples. In spite of what they thought of that ointment, in spite of what they thought they could get out of that ointment, the Bible says that she broke that, she opened that perfume up, that ointment, and she poured it up on top of Jesus' head. 1 year's worth of salary in one moment poured on top of the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was such a precious ointment that that ointment was used for kings. It was used to anoint them in certain things, and sometimes even just one drop was used. And then after everything is said and done, listen to what Jesus Christ says about that woman. Wherever the gospel is preached, wherever the gospel goes to the ends of the earth, what she has done will be a memorial unto her. What a testimony of faithfulness of one individual. And you look at that one life and you think, what in the world is Jesus saying to that one woman? Well, there's so many significant things that are expressed in that. But yet I think about this, and on this Memorial Day, I think about this. Someday, you and I are going to stand in the presence of Jesus Christ. Someday that is actually going to happen to your life and to my life. Would Jesus be able to say about my life and about your life, Father, they have lived a life and there is a memorial of faithfulness about them. They have given lovingly, generously, sacrificially. There is something about their life. Well, what does it take to have a life that is a memorial of faithfulness? And that's what I want us to look at this morning. A memorial of faithfulness, because every one of us are leaving this world. Every one of us are on our way out. This day we're reminded that many have already exited this world. Many are already in eternity. Many are already in heaven, enjoying the pleasures of the Lord God, or enjoying the wonders that He has in store. But when it comes to your life and my life, could the Lord Jesus say about us that our life is being lived as a memorial of faithfulness? Well, let's look at the text a moment, and let's look at your outline, because, you know, there is something about a life that is lived for the Lord God. It's one thing to go to church. It is one thing to read a little bit in your Bible. It's another thing to, read your Bible study, your Sunday school lesson, get prepared. But it's a completely different other thing for you to live your life in such a way that your life is given to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the point that He absolutely knows He has at His available access you and everything you have access to. Well, what's involved in living a memorial of faithfulness? What's required to leave that memorial of faithfulness? She left that memorial of faithfulness. Jesus even announced to those that were listening and those that were watching, wherever the gospel goes. Well, first of all, one of the things that you look at in this text, it's a life that is focused on deliberately loving the Lord God. You know, it's one thing to say that we love the Lord Jesus. It's one thing to announce to others that we love the Lord Jesus, but it's completely another thing altogether to flesh it out and to live it out in every avenue of your life, to the point that it is evident in your financial situation, wherever God has put you financially. You must get the picture of what is happening. The person here is Mary, and probably Mary has servants, and she has individuals who have who could do what she is doing, and that was usually the custom in that day, that a servant would give some anointing oil, and the anointing oil was because of the hot summer days, and it would be just a bit of momentary relief. You know, in the day and time of which she lived, it was usually the custom of the servant to do that. But this woman in this house did not do that. She made it her business because she was very interested in Jesus Christ. She was very interested in meeting the need of the Lord Jesus. She was very interested in being involved in His life. You know, she didn't do what she did to be noticed. One of the things about any life of faithfulness is this: you do what you do for the Lord Jesus Christ, and it doesn't matter whoever knows your name, it is done for the Lord Jesus. You know, the Bible says, whatever you do, do it with all of your might, do it with all of your hands. And there are so many people that the Lord is going to recognize in eternity. Nobody ever knew what they did or how much they did, yet the Father did. And you see, when this woman did this, she didn't say to everybody else, hey, I want you to notice what I'm doing. I want you to look at me, what I've got here. I've got a perfume that is worth 300 pence, or an average working person's yearly salary. She didn't do that. But rather, you know, to her, Jesus was significant to her life. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. How significant is Jesus to you? How significant is pleasing Jesus to you? How significant is pleasing the Father to your personal life? Do you realize we can do everything we can do? We can come to church. We can get so routine, and we can get the engines going and everything in life. And somewhere down the way, we forget that we live a life to please Jesus. There is one statement that I read in the process of studying for this message, and it has not left my mind. To this woman, Jesus was the most significant person in her life. To this woman, Jesus was the most significant person to her life. What do your possessions reveal about you? What does your possessions say about you before the Father? What do the things that you have, is it so important? And you see, the thing about it is, she didn't ask for recognition. You know, there is nothing said about her wanting any recognition. And you and I need to ask the question when it comes to our life. Someday Jesus is seriously going to evaluate my life. Someday he's seriously going to evaluate your life. You may not believe you're going to stand in the presence of Jesus, but you are. You may not think he's going to evaluate your life, but he is. You may not think he's going to take inventory of what you've done with your possessions, but yes, he will. And when you look at your possessions, at everything you have, how significant is Jesus to you? You see, the reality about it is Jesus knew she didn't have to do what she did. And that was expensive ointment. It was expensive perfume for anybody. But because Jesus was important to her, she would not withhold the best from him. This is perfume. This is the best there is. And it is well deserving of Jesus. Now listen to me very carefully. If you withhold the best from Jesus, it's not a money issue. It's a relationship issue. You see, if you withhold the best from Jesus, it's simply because in your heart and in your spirit, somewhere deep, you really don't believe that he's that significant for you to give him the best. Now listen, I know what we say. I know a lot of the explanations. Well, you know, I just cannot afford. The Bible does not really reveal how much this woman had or how little she had. But you know the story of the widow's mite. Jesus knew what she had, but it was available to Jesus because that widow, to Jesus, she was significant as well. To this woman, Jesus was very significant. How significant is you to talk to when it comes to talking to the Lord? When it comes just to casual conversation, and when you're just talking to the Lord, now you don't have to get in a serious posture and get on your knees and have a Bible in your hand. When it comes just to talking to Jesus, how serious is it to you? How important is it to you? You know, just to relate to him. You see, there is something about that person who in whom they realize, you know, if it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't have anything. If it wasn't for Jesus, I'd go to hell. If it wasn't for Jesus, I couldn't even enjoy anything in life. And to this woman, Jesus was the single most significant person in her being. You know, that's what it takes for a memorial of faithfulness. You know, Jim Elliot, a missionary who was killed some years ago, made this statement. He said, he is no fool to give up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And he's very true. Well, not only that, look at number two. A life that's willing to give absolute best to the Lord. Now, the custom of the day in which this woman lived was to give common oil. an oil that cost maybe a penny. But the Bible says that this cost about 300 denarii, which was about a year's wage. You know, the Bible says that during supper, a woman came in with a beautiful flask, and here's what she did. You know, the Bible says that breaking the seal, she poured it over his head in verse 3. Mary wanted Jesus to know that she cared intimately about him. She wanted to show him. Lord Jesus, she said, she didn't do it for fanfare, but literally the absolute best of what she had, she wanted it to be known to Jesus in a very deliberate, I want you to know, I want you to have the best. I want you, Lord Jesus, for you to have the best. I want you to know, Lord Jesus, that whatever is at my disposal, whatever I have, it's not the second best or the third best, but it's the best I want to give to you. You see, really and truly, and listen to me very carefully and very lovingly, what we give a lot of times reveals us. You know, I mean, it does reveal us. You know, if every one of us have something to give to the Lord, and you know, the issue in this woman's life, it wasn't an issue of just giving him something. You know, we live in such a self-centered world and such a self-oriented world. Oh, yes, some will give Jesus something, but it's not the best. You know, you cannot expect Jesus to commend your life. Now, listen, every one of us believe we're going to stand in front of the presence of the Lord Jesus. We all know that. Don't expect him to commend your life when you give him the scraps. Don't you ever expect to stand in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and him to evaluate your life and you've given him nothing but scraps. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? You can give him the scraps financially. You know, you make $1,000 a week and you put $10 or $20 in the offering plate. That's scraps. You know, somebody's in need of something, and something that you've not used for 5-10 years, you know, scraps. Listen to me, and you say, now wait just a minute. I'm just saying, I'm talking about a memorial of faithfulness. I'm talking about a memorial in which Jesus remembers a life. And you see, the thing about it is, you know, Mary didn't do this to gain recognition. She didn't do anything to gain, but she wanted to show Jesus how important that it was to give him the best. And you see, rather than withholding this perfume, she could have withheld the perfume. She could have taken it. Nobody made her do what she did. That's what you and I need to understand. Nobody made her pour this over Jesus. Jesus didn't say, would you give me the best? Listen to me very carefully. The fact that, you know, we have what we do is a reminder that Jesus will not make us give him the best. But here's what happens. We miss out on the blessing. We miss out on the joy and the excitement and the blessing. Let me ask you a question. This woman was willing to give the ointment. That ointment represented a year's salary. Let me raise a question to us. Would it ever dawn on you? And I say this to me, would it dawn on us if you know, to give a year's salary? I'm just telling you what happened in the story. Let me ask you another question. Are your possessions available to Jesus? You say, what do you mean? Have you ever dedicated your car to the Lord? Have you ever said, Lord, whatever you want to do, this is, I know it's my car, it's in my name, I pay taxes on it, but you give me the money. Have you ever dedicated your possessions to the Lord? Have you ever said, Lord Jesus, this is your automobile, it's not really mine. Lord Jesus, this is not really my house, it's your house, you provide me the money to pay on it, but it's really your house. Have you ever thought about doing that? Have you ever done that? You see, there is something about a life that gives to Jesus. We're so etched in society of self and self-orientation and get what you can what you get. Jesus made it very clear to the disciples and everyone that would listen, wherever the gospel is preached, what she's done will not be forgotten. And you see, the same thing holds true in your life and my life. Are you saying, Pastor, that what I do for the Lord Jesus, if I give him the best, he won't forget? You better believe it. As a matter of fact, in our series, you know, that we finished up on the laws of the harvest, you and I must reap what we sow. You reap more than you sow, and you reap later than you sow. That's the principle of Scripture. Well, a third principle is involved, and look at your outline. Not only giving him the best, but look what else you did. A life that is selfless in serving the Lord. Now, Mary was willing to give all the perfume, you know, because Mary was in love with Jesus. You know, you remember back when you was first married? It may have been a long time ago. It may have had been a lot of remembering. But try to go back and remember when you was first married. You know, there's nothing you wouldn't do for your spouse. Nothing you wouldn't do for your husband. Nothing you wouldn't do. And you enjoyed buying them the best. You know why you got them that engagement ring you did? Because you wanted them to know how much you loved them. And, you know, they went around holding that ring out. But really, when they held that ring out, they was talking about their husband-to-be. You know, here's what my husband-to-be got me. Here's what the man in my life got me. And you show that ring because he is showing how much he loves you. Now, listen, here's what a memorial of faithfulness is all about. A life that is selfless. And no human being can make you and me selfless. It only can come from the Lord Jesus. Jesus had shown Mary what he had done for her in forgiving her and loving her and caring for her. And she experienced a life that couldn't even have been experienced any other way apart from Jesus. And, you know, a lot of times we don't rethink what we have because of Jesus. You know, think about this a minute. You're not going to hell because of Jesus. You have forgiveness of sins any moment of any day because of who? Jesus. You know, you have the best that God can bring into your life all because of Jesus. And Mary was just, she was taken back that my life is what it is because of Jesus. Every good and perfect gift, the Bible says, comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what she wanted to, listen, she loved him. She wanted him to know, Jesus, I love you. Listen, this is a year's wage, but it belongs to you. You are rightfully deserving of it because of the significance of him in her life. Do you stop and think lately what Jesus has given and done in your own life? You know what is saddening to see, and you do see it. You see people who are saved, and in their latter years of life, and I think that's going to get exciting. Now, let me tell you, I'm not itching to go right now, but if the Lord says, that's fine. I can't wait to go to heaven. I can't wait to get there. Now, I don't want to test anything. I don't want to try, but I can't wait. Think about it. You know, we do everything we can to extend our life to live 80, 90, 100, 120 years, so we can still live in this sinful, wicked, ungodly world. And think about it, that moment you breathe your last breath, if you're a child of God, you're ushered into heaven. Sort of like a fella I heard of one time, and his wife had given him bran muffins, and finally he got to experience the joys of the Lord, and he realized when he was in heaven, if I hadn't had those bran muffins for so long, I'd been here a lot sooner. You know, listen, to experience the joys of the Lord. Now listen. Think about it for a second. Extract Jesus from your life. Where would you be? Extract Jesus from your life.